Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English. What happens when you're a young high school girl with the power to see ghosts? Well, you talk to them. And when you talk to them, someone no one else can see, when you can talk to somebody no one else can see, then some people may think you're a little crazy. My Lunatic Life by Sharon Sala is her new YA series, and we're going to have the chance to chat with Sharon about that series tonight. Welcome, Sharon.
Thanks, Sheila. I'm really glad to be here.
I love the title. I thought, you know, that's the perfect title.
Well, absolutely, and it's a play on the heroine's word name, too. You know, her name is Terra Luna, and
right. It's
perfect title for that.
Yes, everything about it was perfect.
Thanks.
Now, before we go too far, I do want to let our listeners know that this is a pre-recording, but that you still have an opportunity to send in some questions to Sharon. We're going to go ahead and put this podcast up on readersentertainment.com. It will be up there tonight, so you can go head on over there, and if you have some questions or comments, you can leave that on readersentertainment.com, and I promise you I will get your questions or comments over to Sharon, so you won't miss out on anything. We'll also make sure that we have any websites that we talk about. We'll make sure you get those URLs, and we will get some pictures up there, and so there'll be some extra goodies over at readersentertainment.com. Now, our heroine not only can see and speak to ghosts, but she's also psychic. Tell us a little bit more about Terra Luna.
Okay, well, I tell you, I have fallen in love with the girl. A physical description is, she likes to think she looks a little bit like Angelina Jolie, but not as pretty. And the reason she likes Angelina Jolie is because, not how she looks, but because she takes kids nobody wants. And that's kind of a hint as to how Terra feels about herself. On a normal level, she's a senior in high school. The bad end of that is she's a new kid in class, always. Her uncle Pat has raised her whole life. Her parents died before she was one. And other than her Uncle Pat, she's been raised by a couple of ghosts. One ghost named Millicent and one ghost named Henry. And Millicent is a little pink puff of smoke. She never stops talking, but she never manages to materialize. And Henry, she can see just like we can see each other. But Henry doesn't bother to talk. He just has a big fit and pops up when in the wrong places at the wrong time when she's in an obvious panic. So that's a little bit about Terra and how she goes through life.
Now, give us a synopsis of My Lunatic Life.
Sure. Well, because Terra is a psychic and also a medium, she can kind of looks into the future a little bit, knows what's going on, but she also can see and talk to ghosts. So her life is always a constant mess because of that. And at the beginning of My Lunatic Life, she and Uncle Pat have just moved again to a new place. And I set this book in Stillwater, Oklahoma. That's the home of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. It's the home of the famous burger joint Eskimo Joe's. It's Boomer Lake. All the normal little setting of Stillwater that all the locals know is there. It's a fabulous, fun place, and it's got small-town life but a big city. When they first get to the house, of all things, Terra finds a ghost. I mean, there's a ghost living in this little old rent house, and she's angry. She doesn't even know if it's a girl, but there's an angry ghost living in the house. She starts school, and on the first 2 days gets on the wrong side of the popular girls, happens to be a clique of cheerleaders. And, you know, it all starts going downhill from there. Being able to see and ghosts popping in and out makes things happen around her that are weird, and then people start thinking she's a witch. And, you know, it's bad enough being the new kid without being pointed out as something crazy. The thing I like the best about Tara is she's not a victim. She kids her way out of stuff. She's aggressive enough to stand up for herself. She makes it okay to be different. And I've had a lot of kids talk about how much they like that.
So now we're kind of following her on this mystery of figuring out what's why this ghost is so angry. And
in the middle of, you know, trying to figure out all of that, one of the girls in the little popular clique of cheerleaders goes missing at the school. And this actually sets up the basis for all the books that are going to come, because Tara winds up helping the police solve the mystery of where the girl's gone and gets her rescued just in the nick of time, as they always say, right before she, you know, about to meet her doom. She also meets the bad boy in her bad boy reputation. She's got a cute little boyfriend named Flynn O'Mara, but he's really a good guy with just a bad boy reputation. His dad's in prison, and that's where his, you know, the black mark against him comes in. Lots of funny things happen with the school principal, a lady named Mrs. Crabtree, because she wants to think Tara's not a reliable person because of all the weird stuff that goes on. But there's a little funny thing about the two ghosts that hang out with Tara and who've helped raise her. They're very protective. And when people diss Tara, as the popular word goes, when she gets dissed, the ghosts often step in, and there's sometimes pins flying in the room, and Mrs. Crabtree's off, papers flying, and scared the little old lady to death. So she's kind of leery of Tara, but still doesn't trust her. It's got a great setup of friends that build into the storyline. You learn to see into Tara's life, but you also see into Flynn's. You know, the weird thing is Flynn's mother works at this Eskimo Joe's, which is a really famous burger joint in Oklahoma, and it's famous all over the world. It's real funny. You can go almost any airport in the country, even overseas, and you will see somebody somewhere wearing an Eskimo Joe's T-shirt. It's the strangest thing. I've yet to travel and not see one. But anyway, she works at Eskimo Joe's, and of all things, Uncle Pat, Tara's uncle, starts dating Flynn's mother, and they both freak out over that. That just seems absolutely horrible to both of them. And, you know, there's lots of little things that tick kids off that that adults wouldn't think much about. I've got 6 granddaughters, so I absolutely know what's going on in that world at all times. Trust me, I'm so on cue with all of the talk and the funny and what's going on and what, you know, iPods and iPads and texting and all this good stuff. It's just like peeking into a teenage girl's life. Just a good peek of that. Mm-hmm.
So your research material is pretty much built in.
It's home. that's family. I have fabulous research.
Now, you talked a little bit about it setting up for the series. I know you have a follow-up book to that,
yes.
Lunatic Detective. Can you tell us about that book as well?
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, in every book, I plan to have one big thing solved, but there's always going to be an unanswered thread that starts the next book. And in this case, it was she solved the missing cheerleaders, you know, problem, but there's still this problem of the angry ghost. And just at the very end of the book, we find out, or it, within the storyline of My Lunatic Life, we find out that this angry little ghost is actually the ghost of a young woman who used to live in that house, and that her body is buried somewhere in the backyard. She doesn't know how she got there or who killed her, but the second book is Tara finding out who killed her, finding her body, and getting all that solved. And as that story is evolving, there's another one building. So when the third book comes along, we already know at the end of book 2 that there's another problem happening that's going to be solved in book three. That's how I intended the stories to always be told, so that there's you get the whole story of one thing solved, but there's always going to be one little thread of an unanswered question.
And that's how you hook us.
And I love it. I've been so surprised at the how well this has been received.
Now, Sharon, you and I actually met many years ago at a Romantic Times book lovers convention. Now, back then, I recall you were writing romantic suspense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're writing young adult. Why the change in genre?
Well, actually, it isn't a change. I'm adding to. I still write romantic suspense. But the reason I did the young adults for this happens to be the 20th anniversary this year of my first contract and my first book release, 85-something books
later.
Oh,
congratulations.
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah, it was really cool. I got the Lifetime Achievement Award at our national convention in New York City this year at the Romance Writers of America for, you know, my work within the that career. But all these years, my young granddaughters couldn't read what I wrote because it was adult romantic suspense. And they begged and begged and begged, "Grandma, please write me something I can read." By the time I got around to it, three of them are already old enough to read what I write now. But I have six granddaughters altogether, and ranging in age from 20 to 9. And so I wrote for them. That's what got me into this young adult genre. And then now I'm hooked. I totally love it, and it's just taken off better than I expected. And, yes, I do still write romantic suspense.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that, I have to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's funny. So your granddaughters are your research material,
mm-hmm.
and they also are the kind of the catalyst of the series.
They really are. And the funny thing, my second oldest granddaughter, Logan, who's now 16, was also my beta reader. She's an avid reader, and when I wrote the first manuscript, I had her read it before it was ever sold and tell me if there was anything off and if I had, you know, teen language wrong. And, oh, she just absorbed the whole story and loved it and wanted to know when the next one was going to be written. And she's still aggravated at me because the third book is not written and she wants to know what's happening next. So.
Ah, see, now you're paying the price for hooking us like that.
But this is a good thing.
Now, tell me, how do you go from being in the mindset of an adult heroine, you know, to putting on a young teen heroine's mindset? How hard is it to be a teen these days, or at least in fiction, that is?
Well, like I said, I've got the six girls that I've watched grow up. But honestly, I don't know whether it's the writer's mind or just that I never grew up. But you don't forget how you felt. It doesn't matter how old you get. You still, within the sound of a song or lyrics or anything, you can remember immediately how you felt when you were a kid in high school and how upset you could be at the drop of a hat and how unsure you felt of lots of things. It's actually, from a writer's standpoint, all I had to do was just stop and think back, because teenagers are more grounded these days than we were, and they have a lot more technology. But the bottom line is, what hurts your feelings still hurts your feelings.
Yeah.
And what disappointments are still the same, and betrayals are still the same.
So is it so when you're writing, going from writing an adult fiction book to
mm-hmm.
to the YA, there's not just some switch that you put on, or
you know, well, to interrupt you, but the odd thing is, it's refreshing for a writer to go from one genre to the next. It gives you such a fresh take on everything. You're not locked into the same vocabulary. You don't have the same tension within stories, and the plots are not usually as dark. I write pretty dark contemporary romantic suspense. So there's a time now and then when I find myself wanting to slide into a more in-depth scene, and then I remind myself, nope, pull back. You know, this is we don't go here in these books. So it's a learning process, and after I finished the second one, it was just like I could have slipped right into that and written books forever in that genre, in that age. And I had to stop and go back into romantic suspense for the contracts that I had, and I found myself missing the simplicity and the kind of the purity of new discovery in young adult, and what adults go through in their stories are usually repetitive disappointments. So yes, it was difficult in that time frame, but I'm learning and I'm picking it up as I go. Yeah.
Now, talking about difficulties, is it difficult to write paranormal? Do you enjoy it?
It's actually my favorite genre to write in. When I was doing romantic suspense, and for years, probably half of my backlist has paranormal elements in it, but I didn't ever do the kind that had witches, warlocks, demons, vampires, werewolves, that kind of thing. Mine were more, well, kind of like Tara. They were psychics, they were healers, there was reincarnation, there was time travel. It was that aspect of paranormal that I really like better, and I love it. Yeah, it's my favorite thing. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm really curious, how are your established fans responding to the YA?
Okay, this is what's so funny, and it surprised me. I was actually pretty concerned about picking up an entirely new genre of readers, an age and everything. And so I just expected when the first book came out to be like I was with book one of my, you know, my normal releases back in 1991 when the first book came out. Unknown, trying to find a readership. Well, my regular readers knew I was doing this, and so I posted online one day on Facebook when the book came out and, you know, said, you know, any young adult readers, check it out. Well, first thing I know, here's hundreds of my regular readers popping up to tell me, we got it for our granddaughter, we got it for my daughter, I got it for a niece, I'm going to read it before I give it to them. And then I get back this feedback from them, they're hooked. They loved it. I honestly was so surprised, and I had so many people telling me, it doesn't matter, we know it's young adult, but we absolutely love this girl. What happens next? When's the next book coming out? And it's so neat to have this happening. It was such an unexpected gift. So that's how my established fans are responding, is very, very nice, very well.
You know, I have to say, now I'm 44 years old, so I'm definitely not the YA audience, but I love YA, and I think you touched on that a little bit earlier, you know, about the purity and the simplicity about it. I really do find myself attracted to those kind of stories. I love Stephanie Meyer. I love the whole Twilight thing.
Oh, I'm a big fan of that, yeah.
I love Melissa Marr, who also writes a lot of YA, and she has a movie coming out. I don't know, there's just something about that time period that, you know, like you said, you remember.
You do. Well, you remember. Everybody remembers first love, first kiss. You know, they remember the song. They remember where they were when that happened. They remember what they had on. I mean, you do not lose that. You don't forget that. And that's all it is. It's just back to that time when everything was new. Even if you come from a hard growing up place, even if you don't have much, everything is still a new journey.
Right. Everything's still an adventure.
Yep. Even when
it's new,
scary, it's still something, you know, that you have yet to experience. And then when you do, you don't have any frame of reference for how to deal with it.
Yes.
So that's what sets up the bigger part of young adult stories.
Let me ask you, you know, we talked about your established fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting fan mail from younger readers, and what's that fan mail like?
The neatest stuff. The mothers will get on Facebook. I have a lot of Facebook friends, and they'll tell me what their kids have said about it. This is the best part. I had a woman write me just at the end of last week, and she said that her daughter was reading the book and finished it, and she said the best part, she said, I just want to tell you what a thrill it was to see her having so much fun reading that book. She said, I couldn't get any work done because every few minutes she kept calling me in where she was reading and saying, Mama, listen what happens next. And she was reading it out loud to her mama in business. Oh. And it just made my heart soar. That's exactly how I loved to read when I was a kid. That's still my favorite thing to do, is read a book. And the fact that I am hooking, you know, an entire young generation, or part of the genre that's helping hook an entire young generation of readers, just makes my life perfect. My entire family on my mother's side are educators. I'm the only member of my family that did not become a teacher. And I was I felt like in the doghouse for years until I started writing books and kind of bailed myself out of that. But even my daughter is a teacher now. So my grandmother, all six of her sisters, my mother, now my daughter. I mean, it's just run in the family for three generations. And reading has always been so important in the family. So it just gives me such joy. I mean, such joy to introduce this to kids.
Well, and I love that. I absolutely love that because, you know, and I've had this conversation with other YA writers, and you remember as a kid that when you go to school and you're forced to read and they mm-hmm. force you to read what they want you to read, you almost rebel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's wonderful that when you have a series like this that reminds teens, it reminds the young adults that, you know, books are these adventures of the mind. They really are these wonder, this wonderful sense of, source of entertainment to remind them, you know, come back to reading. Here, this is you know what reading should be like, this great adventure for you. So
absolutely.
So I think that's it's encouraging. It really is encouraging. To me, that the YA genre overall has become so very popular.
I love it. I love it. When I was a kid, I didn't read girl stuff very good. I read Tarzan, you know, all the Tarzan of the Apes books. I read all the Louis L'Amour books. I did read Nancy Drew, but I was into the action, the adventure. That was what I liked when I was a kid, and I read everything I could get my hands on. I went through the school library. My mother, and we lived in the country, and mother took me to the public library, which was a little bitty hole in the wall in a town of 500 people where I grew up, and I couldn't get enough because it took me somewhere else. Reading
yeah.
was just my travel, you know, little country
yeah.
girl, living out on a farm, never went anywhere beyond 30 miles from where I'd been born, but I could go anywhere in the world if I read a book. And
exactly.
I still feel that way.
Yes, truly. Yeah, exactly. I still feel that way. You know, and to the point now that that has become my comfort. Reading is my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, that's my Calgon take me away. Now, give me a quiet corner in a book, and I am good to go. Love
yep.
it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me, who's your publisher for this series, and what's it like working with them?
Oh, it's Bell Books out of Savannah, Georgia, and I love them. The best part about this, and they're a small press publisher, but they're all owned by published authors. All of these women who began this publishing company, maybe, I want to say 12, maybe close to 15 years ago. It's been a while. A couple of New York Times best-selling authors, Deborah Smith, you know.
Yes.
Deb Dixon. I mean, there were five published authors who started this. And working with them couldn't be any better. They know the frustrations of a writer because they are writers. And they're fabulous editors. They don't walk all over, you know, your storyline, but they know what to do to make it good. They back you 100% no matter what. I just feel so fortunate to have, you know, get to be working with them.
You know, I met Deb Smith, I want to say it's been 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's hard to believe that they've been around for such a long time. And mm-hmm. she's amazingly talented herself.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. She's been, like I said, she was New York Times bestseller for a long time before they started this business together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me something. What do you personally love most about this new series that you're writing?
Well, I think I touched on it a little bit before. It's about hearing from the parents, getting feedback about how much the kids are loving it and the funny little stories about it. My 10-year-old grandson's reading them, and my daughter, who's a teacher, told me he takes it to school every day.
Oh.
And she said, I'm not sure whether he's reading it or he just wants all the kids to know Grammy wrote it. But he, you know, it's that pride. It's yeah. the pride that my children feel in me, that my grandchildren can actually hold in their hands something that I did for them. That's really been my personal pleasure from this. And then the broader scope is just knowing that it's actually becoming hopefully a popular series. The fact that I hear so many people telling me what's next and when's it coming out just tells me that it's hitting a good strike anyway.
I love that. And, you know, it sounds like this really, you really have, you know, hit a home run, so to speak, because you have your grandkids who are somewhat involved in it because they have encouraged you and they're reading it and they help you with the research mm-hmm. and all of that. So you have that real personal connection with the series, and now you're hearing from other mothers.
Yeah, I was thrilled when I the publisher Deb Smith emailed me and told me, she said that it was that the second book, now they did some good PR with the first one, but the second book came out just right off the bat, and before they had done any PR or anything, it had hit Amazon's top 100 by itself.
Wow.
In the ebook, children's ebooks, in a couple of different categories. And they were thrilled to death. So that says to them that people were looking out for it. Now, of course, I'd posted on Facebook that it was out, but the readers, the minimal amount of readers who might see that post on Facebook have nothing to do with the larger amount of people that would buy it off of Amazon.com. They're
right.
on there looking for stuff, you know.
Right.
And they saw it. So it tells me that the first book, My Lunatic Life, clicked with enough people that when Lunatic Detective came out, which is the second book, they were not only ready for it, they were looking for it.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me, what do you have on the horizon? What's in store for 2012 and beyond?
Well, of course, I'm writing romantic suspense. I have a trilogy coming out next year. It's called Rebel Ridge Trilogy, and it's, of course, contemporary romantic suspense. Next of Kin is the first book. It'll be out in February, and I am tonight putting the finishing edits on Don't Cry For Me, which is the second book. I also have sold two Bell books, my first women's fiction, non-romance, non-YA. So I actually am going to have three genres of books out next year, and that's a new plus for me, and I'm excited about it. It's a women's fiction book called The Boarding House.
Oh, I had no idea you were doing that.
Yep, I'm excited.
I had not heard, so I'm,
well,
yeah.
It, you know, it's just not happened yet. Yep.
It is on the horizon.
It is, yeah, it's finished. They have it. It'll be out sometime next year, and I cannot tell you how anxiously I await this book. It's really important to me.
And we're getting ready to wrap up here. We have a little less than a minute, but could you tell people where they can find you online?
Sure. You can go to my website. It's www.SharonSalaBooks.com, and you can also find me on Facebook.
All right. Sharon, I want to thank you so much. I know you're doing edits. I know you're really busy, and here it is around the holiday, and still you found time. Thank you so much.
Sheila, it was completely my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget to stop by readersentertainment.com and leave us a comment. I'm Sheila English, your host. Happy reading.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.